But I do want to share some thoughts with you from God's Word tonight in Mark chapter 10. In our continuing series in discipleship, I want to leave just a few thoughts about following Christ into trouble. Following Christ into trouble. 1 year ago today, the earthquake took place in Haiti that caused the upheaval of over 1 million people, caused the destruction of over 15 churches that were in Port-au-Prince. 4 or 5 of them were fundamental works that were destroyed or had their buildings badly damaged. Pastor Cherubin, who pastored a church in Jacmel, had damage to his church, but they were able to still conduct services. He conducted over 50 funerals over a period of about a week and a half as they found bodies and so forth. And I thought about that today in regard to what I want to share with you. Beginning tonight, we're going to, Lord willing, pick up with this at a later date. But sometimes the Lord Jesus Christ leads us into trouble. And we have to understand that we need to follow Him into trouble. Because if we don't, there'll be valuable things that we'll miss out on because we refuse to follow Him into trouble. Let me share with you 3 verses here in Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 32. And they were in the way, going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them. And they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And He took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto Him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn Him to death, and shall deliver Him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock Him, and shall scourge Him, and shall spit upon Him, and shall kill Him, and the third day He shall rise again. Now here we see the Lord Jesus Christ picking up for the third time in the book of Mark about what He's going to do. He's going to go to the cross. He is going to die. The disciples know what's going to take place in Jerusalem, and they're not walking beside the Lord Jesus Christ. Where does the Bible say they're walking? They're walking behind Him. He has a very determined step, and He is walking with a sure pace, and they're following behind Him. And there are 2 words that are describing the disciples at this point. First of all, astonished. And then second of all, they are afraid. Astonished and afraid, following the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting. This is the third time that the word astonished is used in chapter 10. Now let me just give you a brief overview of the chapter. Jesus, in the beginning of this chapter, records his messages regarding divorce and remarriage and marriage, His rebuke of His disciples for turning away parents and children from coming to Him, the account of the rich young ruler that we're all familiar with, and then the Bible records that the disciples were astonished 3 times. Verse 24, they are astonished at His words concerning the rich. What did He say? How hardly shall a rich man enter into the kingdom of heaven? And they were astonished, we're told in verse 24. Secondly, in verse 26, it says that they were astonished out of measure. That's an interesting phrase. Astonished out of measure, just beyond the pale of astonished. And we're going to talk about the word that's used there in just a moment. Saying among themselves, Who can be saved then? Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed after thee. And then verse 32, they were astonished as Christ went up to Jerusalem, who went up before them, and they were amazed. That's the word astonished in the other verses there. Now, I want you to think with me for just a moment. There is an aspect of following the Lord Jesus Christ that sends a chill up the spine of the disciple and makes the whole spiritual life gasp for breath. All right? There is an aspect of discipleship that'll scare the living daylights out of you. Have you ever been in that place? Where spiritually speaking, you've had the living daylights scared out of you. I can say that I've had that a few times in my life. where I've just literally just been scared to death. What do I do? Where do I go? I think all of us can probably say, yes, that's happened to me in the past. And that's part of the Christian life. The word astonished comes from the Greek word ethambunto. And there's a play on words here, and we probably won't have time to develop this. But ethambunto means to stun or to strike dumb with sudden fear. It's a very powerful Greek word. It means to be filled with terror, surprise, wonder, to amaze, to confound with some sudden passion. It entails sudden fear, surprise that causes the brain to dump adrenaline into the bloodstream, which causes the heart to race. That's this word that's used here. It's a medical term. It describes that instance of fear where the brain just dumps adrenaline down in the bloodstream and your heart starts racing. What do I do? I was online today reading some of the reports concerning Gabrielle Giffords being shot in Arizona. I wanted to learn a little bit more about the intern that helped her. I don't know if you saw the picture that was in the New York Times, it was in the LA Times, of this young man that was walking alongside of the gurney as they were carrying her to, and he had his hand on top of her hand, and he was walking beside and assisted the paramedics. This young man's name is Daniel Hernandez. He had worked for her for 5 days. Been on her staff for 5 days. Now, he had worked in the past for her as a teenager, as a volunteer in her 2008 campaign. And he just had gone to work for her just a few days before. But he jumped into action for his boss. Let me share some things that I learned. She, of course, was shot in the head. And without hesitation, he ran over to her, got underneath her, picked her up, so she was not laying flat on the ground, and he took his hand and he covered her forehead where she was bleeding profusely, hoping to slow down the process of being in that lying position, all the blood rushing up to her head and the blood escaping through the wound and she dying from lack of blood. Pulled her up, held her up, and put his hand over her. He was asked later to describe what happened. He said, I felt this sudden burst of shock, surprise, and terrible fear. But I knew I needed to help Gabby and do all I could to make her comfortable, not knowing whether she would live or die. And I'd already read this passage of Scripture and already looked up this word, and I said, that describes exactly how the disciples felt. That's the word that's used. As they're walking steps behind the Savior, they are scared to death. Their hearts are racing. What is Jesus Christ doing? Doesn't He know? He's told us that He must go up to Jerusalem and that something bad's going to happen. Don't you remember when He told Peter that Peter couldn't come and do what he was going to do? What is the Savior doing? But Jesus Christ, the Bible says, set His face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. And the disciples followed Him. Now, He was determined. He was out ahead of His disciples. Have you ever been with somebody that was on a mission and they were walking? It's like my wife when she goes walking, right? She may say from time to time, no, she doesn't ask me very often. But when she does, you want to go walking, I know what's up. I'm going to have to run. Because my wife, when she strides, and Brenda's the same way. They've got long, and they're just striding. They're moving along, walking like this. And I'm doing like this, trying to keep up. Okay? And they're out ahead. And finally, after a while, I just give up. You know? I just can't keep up with them. They're just moving out. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ was determined to go up to Jerusalem. Why? Because He was going to obey the Father. He was going to complete the Father's will in regard to your salvation. And He had set His face like a flint, and He was moving, and the disciples couldn't keep up with Him. You know what? They were afraid. They were astonished. that he had such determination to move ahead and to accomplish his Father's will. Now, I'm going to pick up, Lord willing, with this, because there are some things that are emphasized in this particular passage that I don't want you to miss out on. Mark is the only one to record this. I think that's interesting. You know, the Gospels, you put them all together and you get almost a complete picture of the final days of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Mark is the only one that tells us about the trip into Jerusalem. What it was like to walk with the Savior heading up into Jerusalem, which would be His Passion Week, in which He would give His life a ransom for sinners. It says that He went ahead of them three times in the book of Mark. Only one to record this. We're told it here that He went ahead of the disciples. We're told again in Mark chapter 14, "But after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee." That's what He told His disciples. And then in chapter 16 and verse 7, it says, "But go your way, tell His disciples and Peter that He goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see Him as He said unto you." Let me just close with this thought. Mark is the writer of urgency. You find immediately, straightway. Mark used these little impact words to describe the ministry of Christ as a servant. Immediate, straightway, moved ahead. To communicate an aspect of our Savior in regard to His leadership, in regard to His life. You know, we hear a lot about servant leadership. Well, the concept comes from the book of Mark. And it describes an urgency of the Savior to accomplish the Father's will. And Lord willing, we're going to pick up with this fact, because sometimes Jesus Christ leads us into trouble. Are you willing to keep up with Him? Or are you going to do everything you can to stay out of it? Sometimes the Lord leads you into trouble. And this passage tells about the mercy of Christ. As He's leading them, He stops before He gets to Jerusalem, and He pulls the disciples aside, and He uses eight future tense terms to tell them what's going to happen in Jerusalem, because they're just full of questions. Lord, what are You leading us into? Can we follow You? Should we follow You? You and I have those same kind of times in our life, do we not? Can I follow You? Should I follow You into trouble? I hope that you and I can grasp from this passage of Scripture as we study it, that aspect of discipleship. When Jesus takes us into the land of trouble, are we willing to follow? And what should the disciples' attitude be at those particular times in life? Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank You so much for Your Word. And Lord, we've just scratched the surface on this particular theme that's given to us here in Mark chapter 10. Lord, I pray that You would open our hearts and eyes to realize that life's pathway is not going to be lined with rose petals, that everything's not going to be a walk in the park, that sometimes You're going to lead us, You're going to walk out ahead of us, and You're going to take us into the valley of difficulty, maybe even through the valley of the shadow of death. And Lord, as disciples, we need to be prepared to follow, whatever the cost might be. The disciples had no idea what was going to happen, what it was going to cost, what it meant to follow Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. And I pray that You might help us to see that sometimes we're led into difficulty, into trouble, into trial. But we need to understand that our Savior's in control, that our Savior will watch over us and give us the strength that we need to bear the burden, to face the trial, to deal with the trouble, and to have the grace necessary to accomplish whatever purpose You have in our lives. We pray that You would go with us as we go our ways tonight. Watch over and protect us. Keep us safe. Be with the vessels tonight as they travel. We pray that You would watch over them. Keep them alert. May they arrive safely in St. Petersburg. And we pray that You would use them in a ministry there for Your honor and glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.